Well, thanks for joining us here at Calvary Temple Online. If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 27. Acts 27, we're going to be looking there today as we continue in our series as we're talking about chaos. We're talking about chaos. Speaking of chaos, I saw this meme and I thought, boy, talk about chaos, right? This guy coming down the ski slopes and here's a sign that says, "You are here." He's just about ready to go over the edge of a cliff, isn't he? And it's like, wow, that's not the sign you want to see, right? Speaking of chaos. I like what these people did in this particular town. There's a sign there they have up, and it says, if you hit this sign, you will hit that bridge. I'm talking about a useful sign. That's a very useful sign. Speaking of useful signs, I thought this one was pretty funny, and I can relate to it. It says, I was asked to do a safety station for a garage. And you notice there at the bottom, it says, more fire, less fire, right? Makes it pretty simple, easy to understand, you know? And speaking of safety, I like this one here. Never trust an electrician with no eyebrows. Enough said, right? Enough said. Speaking of that type of chaos, I like this one. Dominoes, kind of ironic, right? Dominoes, you know, anyway. And I couldn't help but share this one. I thought it was pretty funny when I read it. Shaquille O'Neal, and he's saying, I can't end my messages with Love Shack because the B-52s ruined that for me. I thought that was pretty funny. Anyway, let's pray before we get into it. Father, I thank you today for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the fact that you help us to overcome the chaos in our life. You help us to see things the way they really are, to trust you, and to just depend upon you in every way. Speak through this mouthpiece now. Open our hearts. We want to hear from you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, last week I began my message by talking about the temporary inconvenience of, you know, moving from one house to another house, you know, which is an inconvenience we've all experienced at one time or another. And then in the month of September alone, we've actually seen thousands of people in the Caribbean, in Texas, in Louisiana, in Florida, and now all over southeastern United States that have experienced just major chaos as three devastating storms have come through in the month of September. We've got Francine and Gordon, and just last week we have Helene sweeping through each of these areas. You know, the damages have been catastrophic from both the wind and the water. I mean, their lives have just been turned upside down, and many of them have lost everything that they've owned. Now listen, God's people have responded in a magnificent way, and as God's people always do, we have Convoy of Hope that is there on the ground. They've been there from the onset of each one of these storms, and there are dozens of other ministries there from virtually every faith tradition. They're there on the ground, deeply involved in hands-on way of helping people get their lives back together. Let me just say this, we're huge supporters of Convoy of Hope here at Calvary Temple. They do amazing work, especially in these catastrophic situations. If you'd like to give to that, you're certainly able to do so at the, just give and put Convoy of Hope in the memo, and we'll make sure we send that to them. But and they need your help, you know, especially now with all of these chaotic situations taking place. But you know, the situation there is really an example of what this series, and especially what today's message is all about. You know, for the people affected by these devastating storms, it doesn't matter how together their lives were the day before the storm hit. They discovered in an all too real way how life is unpredictable. And this world is unstable, and you never know when everything about your existence will suddenly spin into chaos. Now, if you look around our world, there is chaos happening every day. There are wars, political upheavals that are taking place, terrorism. Thousands of babies are being murdered by abortion every day. Sex trafficking, hunger, disease, and drought that is just plaguing our world. You know, we get these frequent reminders that the world around us is not nearly as stable as we would like for it to be. Now, some of you are seeing it happen day after day after day on a more personal level even. You see it in your marriage or your family, your business or your job. I mean, the world is becoming increasingly unstable, and there's just a whole lot of shaking going on all around you. And when this happens, it doesn't matter how together you might be personally, because the chaos around you still affects you. So what do you do when you feel like the world is just crashing down around you? Well, as I said, we're in the second week of a series called Chaos, and this whole series is about finding strength in a culture or a world of chaos. And that's a good way to describe the world that we live in, isn't it? It's often chaotic. Now, last week, we talked about how to deal with the chaos that we create for ourselves, both through just sinful willfulness and also through misguided and unwise decisions. We talked about self-inflicted chaos. We talked about the need to confront that chaos head on, asking the right questions and listening to the right people and then taking the right follow-up steps. Well, today we're going to talk about confronting a different kind of chaos. I'm talking about the chaos that we encounter that's not of our own doing. It is a result of this crazy, mixed up, fallen world in which we live. Now, you may not be prone to chaos personally, but I can assure you that the world is, and many of the people around you are, and sometimes it doesn't take much for pandemonium to take over. And so today, I want to talk to you about dealing with the chaos around you, the chaos that occurs in situations that you can't really control. How do you stand strong? You know, years ago, Rudyard Kipling wrote a poem that many of us memorize in grade school or middle school. Now, the poem sums up the standing strong mentality. Now, I won't recite the entire poem, but some of the lines you probably remember. It goes this way: if you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it. And what's more, you'll be a man, my son. Now, humorist Jean Kerr, who wrote the book, Please Don't Eat the Daisies, she had her own take on this particular poem. And she said this: if you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs, it's just possible that you haven't grasped the situation. Her version actually might be more accurate if you think about it. But today I want to talk to you about how to understand the situation and how to respond to the chaos around you and how to keep your head on straight even when nobody else has a clue about what to do. Now, we're going to look at a story here in Acts chapter 27 about the Apostle Paul, who was on a ship in the middle of a storm, and everyone around him was losing their heads, and he stood strong in the midst of it all. Now, the events of this story parallel the steps that I believe we need to take in order to respond rightly to the chaos that we encounter. Acts 27 begins with Paul setting for Italy. When you're reading actually through the book of Acts, you notice that in Acts 27, the pronouns suddenly change from he to we, from he to we. Now, it's assumed that at this point, Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, is along for the ride with him. So when Paul got on the boat, his life was already quite chaotic. This was not a vacation cruise. No, he was on his way to Italy, to Rome, to stand trial before Caesar and quite possibly even be sentenced to death. Well, this chaos in Paul's life was not his own doing, other than the fact that he'd been faithful to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, this chaos in Paul's life was the result of the fallen world in which Paul lived and the government and a people actually that was hostile to the teachings of Jesus Christ. Now, after he boarded this final ship on the way to Italy, things went from bad to worse because the ship, which contained 276 people plus cargo, they ran into some troubling weather. And we're going to see how that no one really knew how to handle it until Paul finally stepped up. You know, as we work through this story, there are actually three observations about chaotic situations that I want to draw your attention to. If you want to be the kind of person who can stand strong in a culture of chaos, if you want to be the one who keeps their head on straight when everybody else is losing theirs, then these are three general truths that you need to keep in mind. Now, the first thing to remember is that when you get into chaos, is number one, the chaos won't fix itself, and you can't always count on others to do it for you. Problems rarely, if ever, just go away on their own. In fact, they sometimes get worse. You know, the second law in thermodynamics is about the inevitability of entropy, that things actually go from order to disorder. Some of our problems can fit into this category. Left untended, they go from bad to worse, right? Now, as the ship that Paul was on sailed into the storm, they couldn't just cross their fingers and hope the storm would do, you know, what a storm of this size can't help but do. You know, they needed a plan and they needed to take action, but they just weren't willing to do it. And, you know, as the ship was about to sail into troubled waters, Paul warns them in verse number 10. Men, he said, I believe there is trouble ahead if we go on. Shipwreck, loss of cargo, and danger to our lives as well. You see, he wanted them to put the brakes on and wait out the storm and spend the winter where they were, because these waters were considered unnavigable in the late fall and in the early winter months. Luke writes in verse number 11, but the officer in charge of the prisoners listened more to the ship's captain and the owner than to Paul. And their advice to him was to go on ahead. Now, there are three phrases in this part of the story that really jumps out at you. One phrase is found in verse number 9. It says, we had lost a lot of time. Now, isn't that what chaos does? I mean, it is the ultimate time killer. Until you find a way to confront the chaos, you just keep losing time. Now, another phrase that jumps out is found in verse number 15. Verse 15 says, the ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind, so we gave way to it and were driven along. How many times have we been in the same situation? I mean, we just give up and we give way to the problem and we just let it drive us along. Too tired to fight back, too discouraged to resist, we just let the situation drive us along. Now, there's another phrase, thirdly, that will jump out at you, and it's found in verse number 12. Paul had told the leaders what they needed to do, and Luke writes this in verse 12. He says, since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided that we should sail on. Now, there are certain situations, especially crisis situations, when the majority is the last group you want to listen to. I mean, the hive mind mentality of the majority doesn't always move you in the direction of wise decision making. And what I'm saying is that there are going to be times when you have to stand alone against the tide of public opinion, and you have to choose to do what you know is right rather than what everybody else is saying, what everybody else thinks is right at that particular moment. You know, chaos will never fix itself, and you can't always count on others to fix it for you. So, what do you do? Well, here's the next observation. You need to, number two, acknowledge that God is in control, that he is in control of even the most out-of-control situations. Listen, God is not the author of chaos. He is the redeemer of chaos. God's not the author of disorder and destruction. He's the redeemer of disorder and destruction. And in today's story, we see how Paul reminded his fellow passengers that regardless of how things may appear on the surface, that God is in control. When things were at their worst, God gave a word to Paul, and he passes that word on to everyone else, saying in verse 25, so keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. And a few verses later, Luke tells us in verse 35, then he took some bread, gave thanks to God before them all, and broke off a piece of it and ate it. You see, the best thing you can do in the midst of an out-of-control situation is to acknowledge that above and beyond everything else, God is still in control. His being in control doesn't mean that we'll never face hard times or that we will never encounter chaos. It just means that in spite of the disorder all around us, as Isaiah 59:1 says, the Lord's arm is not too weak to save you, nor is his ear too deaf to hear your call. You know, more times than I can count, I have had to stop in the midst of my momentary panic and to remind myself who's really in control of the situation. And so God's message to the Apostle Paul during the midst of this storm was basically, in effect, you're going to get through this. And you know what? You and I will too. You and I will too. Sometimes we just need to get on our knees and we need to pray and we need to trust God to take care of the situation because he is in control. You know, the 18th century evangelist George Whitefield one time said this. He said, we are immortal until our work on earth is done. God is in control of even the most out of control situations. And so if you want to learn to keep your head about you, if you want to learn to stand strong, then remind yourself of this truth every day of your life, every moment of every day. So the first two observations from this story is that the chaos isn't about to fix itself and you can't count on the majority to make it better, but God is in control and he can redeem any amount of chaos. So where does that lead us? Well, the key to standing strong in a culture of chaos, thirdly, is to take charge whenever and wherever you can. You know, after the boat had taken a beating in the storm and they had thrown the cargo overboard and they had gone 2 weeks without taking a bite of food, it had gotten to the point that Luke writes in verse 20, the terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars until at last all hope was gone. Now, at this point, Paul spoke up once again, and he said basically in effect to these guys, gentlemen, I hate to say I told you so, but I told you so. You should have listened to me before, and you didn't. Maybe this time you will. You know, you may not be able to still the storm as it's just squalling all around you. You may not be able to change the tide of public opinion or change the economy or control what some political leader might do. You may not be able to control what your wife or your kids or your boss or your customers might do. But you can control what you do. You can speak the voice of leadership. You can set the example of leadership to all of those around you. Now, there's another phrase in this text that just really jumps out at you. It's found in verse 33. Paul says this, just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. For the last 14 days, he said, you have been in constant suspense and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. And Paul says this, for the last 14 days, you've been in constant suspense. Most of us know what that's like, right? You know, and it's lasted many times longer than 14 days. You see, that's what chaos creates. It creates this nagging, never-ending state of not knowing. Now, based on what takes place in this story, here are three things that I would advise you to do. First of all, I want to encourage you to take care of yourself. Look at verse 33. It says, just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. You know, the crisis has been going on for 2 weeks and it wasn't over yet. Almost, but not yet. And so the best thing they could do at this moment was to tend to themselves. And so Paul told them to eat. You need to eat. You know, oftentimes the first thing that people do in the midst of a crisis is to stop taking care of themselves. Either they don't eat or they stuff themselves with unhealthy food. Either they sleep all day or they don't sleep at all. Either they completely withdraw emotionally or they blow up at every little thing. And they try to medicate the situation with alcohol and drugs or food or shopping or any number of things. Listen, if there is chaos going on all around you and you're in a constant state of not knowing what will happen next, my first word to you is this, take care of yourself. Take care of yourself, eat right, sleep at night, go to sleep at night, sleep right, take a walk every day, maybe a couple of times a day. You know, these three things will help you to maintain your emotional equilibrium. Now, the second thing I want to encourage you to do is this, lighten your load. Lighten your load. Look at verse 38. When they had eaten as much as they wanted, they lightened the ship by throwing the grain into the sea. Why did they do this? Because they didn't need it anymore. Instead, they needed the ship to be lighter so that they could get closer to shore. Listen, there's something about a crisis that helps us to define what really matters, what we really need. In order to stand strong, there are going to be times when it's necessary to eliminate unnecessary clutter and useless baggage. All of us have some amount of clutter in our life. Maybe it's a friendship. Maybe it's a relationship that isn't leading us in a good direction. Maybe it's a financial obligation that's draining our resources. Maybe we're wasting our time in an unproductive area, which prevents us from doing those things which matter most. Listen, you may not be able to control the elements of the storm all around you, but you strengthen your position when you lighten your load. So look at your life and ask yourself, what do I really need? What really matters most? What can I do without? And lighten your load and let go of some of the clutter. Thirdly, I want to encourage you to get ready to do your part. You know, many times believers want God to come into our difficult situations and just to make everything right, just to work everything out, you know, without any effort on our part. We want God to rescue us from the boat and just somehow drop us safely on shore without ever being inconvenienced. But that's not the way it works, at least most of the time. Most of the time, it works for us the way that it would work for those that were on board that ship here in Acts chapter 27. The boat was approaching the shore, and then verse 41 tells us the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. The bow struck fast and would not move, and the stern was broken into pieces by the pounding of the surf. You see, they were that close, just so close, but they were a couple of yards away from shore, still in a little bit of danger. So what did they do? Well, Luke writes about what the centurion in charge did. Look at what it says in verse 43. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and to get to land. The rest were to get there on planks or on other pieces of the ship. And in this way, everyone reached land safely. When you're in the midst of chaos, there are times when you need to swim with all of your might. And there are times when you just need to hang on to a plank with all of your might. But you're going to need to do all that you can in order to get to shore. You're going to do what you can do. You know, God doesn't come into your life like a butler, drawing your bath and brewing your tea and ironing your newspaper and helping you, you know, slip on your slippers. You know, that's not the role that God plays in your life. God can get you through any chaotic situation, and you can be sure that he will, because you're immortal until your work on earth is done. But you can also be sure that in order to get you through the chaos, that you're going to have some skin in the game. You're going to have to do your part. You're going to have to swim, or you're going to have to grab some driftwood and dog paddle, you know, that final 200 yards to shore. God will bring you through victoriously, but you're going to have to do your part. You're going to have to do what you can do. You know, in closing, those who stand strong in a culture of chaos are those that refuse to surrender to the chaos. I mean, they won't just give up and give way to the storm and let it drive them along. And though they may momentarily be a victim of circumstances, they refuse to remain a victim of any kind for any time. Why? Well, because they know that God's in control. They know that he will see them through whatever might come their way. And so for this reason, even during an extended season of not knowing, those who stand strong are able to say, you know what? I am prepared to do my part. I'll take care of myself. I'll lighten the load where I can lighten my load. And I will swim as far as I need to swim. And when I can't swim anymore, then I'll hang on to God's promises that he is going to see me through and bring me through the chaos victoriously. You know, you have no control over the chaos around you, but you do have control over you. And whenever and wherever you can, make a good choice, set a good example, and be willing to do your part. That's how you get victory over the chaos that's going on around you. You know, today, if you've never opened your heart or life to Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you, the best decision you will ever make, the decision that will give you the help that you need to overcome and have victory over the chaos in your life, is to make a decision to receive Jesus Christ into your heart. See, God loves you so much that he let Jesus come into this world to give his life to pay the price for the sins of all mankind, so that your sins can be forgiven, so that my sins can be forgiven. See, God loves you, and he wants you to experience forgiveness, a fresh start, and a clean slate. He's offering that to you as a free gift. But see, every gift has to be received. If you never received that gift of forgiveness, of a relationship with Jesus, I want to encourage you to pray this prayer with me right now. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me, even when I don't deserve it. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross of Calvary to pay the price for my sins. I receive that forgiveness right now. Thank you for a clean slate, a fresh start. I ask you to come into my life to be my Lord and Savior. I want to build a relationship with you right here, right now. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer in the comment section, say, Pastor Scott, I prayed that prayer today because I want to celebrate with you, and I want to pray that God will continue to cause that relationship with him to grow, and that you'll be able to experience and know that he's there with you, walking with you every step of every day. You know, for many of us, we deal with that chaos that's going on all around us. It's not something that we brought on ourselves. It's just the fact that we live in this world of chaos. But God's promised to give you victory over the chaos around you if you'll trust Him. If you will trust that He is in control, and if you will take control and do your part by swimming as hard as you can when you need to, by doing what only you can do, by taking care of yourself, lightening the load of your life, and making sure that you're doing all you can to try to lead those around you even into victory over the chaos around us. So let's close in prayer, asking God to help us to be the kind of leader that Paul was, the kind of person that steps up in the midst of chaos and takes the leadership and directs people to victory over that chaos. And so, Lord, we thank you today for your love and your mercy. We thank you for this example of the Apostle Paul, how that he relied upon you, trusted you, listened for your voice, and Lord, that he helped all of those that were in that ship to swim safely to shore and to avoid the chaos that was happening around them. Lord, you're calling each one of us to do the same thing. Lord, you can bring us out, but Lord, you're depending on us to do our part as well. And so help us to do what we need to do, Lord, to deal with the things in our life that we can, do the things that we can do, take leadership, and to trust you because we know that you are in control. Thank you for the victory that you've promised us through your word over the chaos in our life that goes on around us. We give the praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you again next week.